ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, 1 hour to go. Hey, we got two in the rear view. The windshield's full, though. That's why it's bigger than the rear view on the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. I'm just going to do that. You talk about beating the hell and the death out of Shih Tzus, Pussy Willows, and all that. I'm beating the hell out of the big show.
That's fine. I'm used to it. I like it. It don't bother me a bit.
I also told you that if we want to expect anybody else to jump on board and believe in our show, we got to believe in ourselves, and
That's
we
right.
are the big show.
That's right.
Kiss my ass.
A couple of texts. I'm going to do these kind of in a different order here. LOL, wait, did Joel just do a scared chicken sound, or was that Nick with the computer?
I don't think they were scared, but I did it.
And then, Barry, if Jordan plays against the Reds, I would just turn off your phone. they struggle a little bit in the pitching department.
The bench brought up a good point, though. This will be his first road series.
Yeah. That's why they played him in left.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting.
They were talking
to see,
about that they wanted to get him some reps in left.
Even regardless, and you're right. The DH plays in too, but even if it was just on the road, say in Arlington or something like that, he's had all the comforts of home.
Yep,
might be a little different.
Find out what's going on. Somebody said, speaking of beef, did y'all hear about ABC 13 and the Chronicle that had to do with that little girl, the Malia story? I just want the facts. I don't give a damn who broke it first. Was there beef going on between 13 and the Chronicle?
I thought that only happens between like Mark Berman and sports agencies that want to say that they got the scoop first.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but I don't care. I mean
the Cron's really kind of wallowing, aren't they?
I mean,
yeah. He's kind of associated with Jerome, so he ain't going to talk. He ain't going to talk.
No, and I get that part of it, but I'm just saying newspapers are a dying breed right
now. We can say the Cron sucks. It's okay.
I don't think they suck. I just think that with so many different ways to get your news and information.
I think a week or two ago I was taking shots at the Chronicle. I know, just no, because I'm associated with Jerome.
I know.
Because you know what it was when we were talking about, you like, this is why the newspapers are dying, because they didn't adapt. And now it's too late. And because we were talking about podcasts and everything else and how radio is trying to adapt. And no, trust me. You know me. If I can take a shot, I'm taking that shot.
Speaking of that Malia Davis thing, can I? Because I set the table for a pet peeve that now most people are jumping on when an athlete does an interview with a female and uses man.
I saw this.
Because that happened a lot. No, but here's. But I wanted to do this regarding Malia Davis.
Okay.
Where are you on, and I'll use it because it happened during this case, but when the reporter's talking about Malia Davis and says, that's when baby girl came up missing, and when they went to Arkansas, they found baby girl's remains.
Oh, no.
I just think at a certain point, baby girl, instead of Malia or the young child, especially with such a delicate situation like that, but I just don't think that's part of a report on the news.
I think, I kind of, sometimes I want my news to be formal.
Yes.
Especially on such a serious topic.
Right.
And that makes it sound informal and like you were a part of the family.
Right.
And I'm with you. There's an air of casual.
Yeah, too casual, and to me that kind of spins off into maybe a little lack of sensitivity because she's dead.
Yeah.
And it's a real time situation. So I just wanted to get your opinion because, again, if I'm get off my lawn guy, then I expect you guys will tell me.
No, I get that. I get that. So on a less somber note.
Yes.
Somebody said, great show as always. Barry, what was that lady in the front row considered? Was she a heckler or just doing too much?
Did you have another one?
Walt. And then you talk about another person that has supported me from the jump. Walt is a listener to the show, but ever since we started this show, he brings his beautiful wife and they come to gigs and they have supported me through and through. So I got to give a shout out to Walt as well, man. They've done a ton by coming out to shows, but he brings up a good point because there was this lady that not even during my set, but through all the sets, she wouldn't stop talking. So,
about you or just
no, just to the comics in general. I was the last comic, so throughout the entire show, okay. She's just would try to fill the space, the silence with words. And a lot of times, comedians use that silence as a tool on stage. We don't need you to fill that space. We're leaving the space there to build tension for the joke. But then people get drunk and they just want to shout stuff out. And that's what this lady was doing. She was absolutely a heckler because I was telling this joke. I do this joke about Hurricane Harvey. And part of the joke is I talk about how I learned a lot. And one of the things I learned is don't send my wife to the store for hurricane supplies, because she came back with like 7 bags of chips, 4 boxes of cookies, 2 bags of powdered donuts. But every time I was trying to do that, and that's a setup for a punchline, I would be like, yeah, I learned don't send my wife to the store for hurricane supplies because she brought back, and I didn't even get the rest of this. And she goes, tampons. I was like, what? God. I was like, 7 bags of tampons, 4 boxes of cooked tampons. She just kept doing it. And I almost looked at her and was like, bitch, I hear you. It's not funny. Gotta but I was like, annoying. I'm not going to call this lady a bitch because that's not appropriate. 2, the last time I closed out the joke joint at the other location, it was my last show there. That was the famous within you SSD.
Oh, that's right. Really?
I was like, I am not doing this again. And what's crazy is that I started the set because I knew she was talking and wouldn't stop. So I go on stage and I thanked everybody for being there. And I was like, and this, as soon as I got up there, she said something to me. And I was like, I'm glad you spoke up because you've been talking the whole night. So I want to share with everybody a story about the joke joint. This is one of my fondest memories because it was so funny. And it's the only time I've ever interacted with a heckler like this. And I told the whole story about the 2 gay rednecks and I told them to S their D's, and then the dad was like, that's my son. I was like, well, then you do it. And it got all out of hand. And they waited for me for an hour. I told the whole story thinking that
one,
it was entertaining. The crowd enjoyed the story. But 2, I literally looked at her and said, so, ma'am, I'm going to ask you before I start this set to be quiet because I don't want you to end up on YouTube. And I thought for sure
that would shut her up.
It did not. No. Alcohol is undefeated, my friend.
She went straight to tampons. Tampons.
Yeah, because the Harvey bit is like the second bit of my set. I do all these jokes about smoking weed, and it's like 3 minutes long, and then I do the Harvey bit. So I mean, I'm not even 5 minutes into my set. Tampons. I was like, ma'am, what did we just talk about? I had to do that like 3 or 4 times in a 45-minute set. At one point, I looked at her and said, look, I don't want to embarrass you, and I don't want to be mean to
you. Is she responding when you're talking to her? Is she like, right,
she's
I got
trying,
you?
No. She's trying to, yeah, but you know, nah, man. And I was just like, I was so close. The next time, I was like, I was just going to say, sir, could you please just take her home?
Yeah.
Like, I was like,
you would think he's embarrassed.
He wasn't. He was just stoic. He was just, he didn't say anything. I would have been like, would you shut up?
He's
like,
probably happy because at home that's only him that has to deal with it.
Yeah, because that means he's going to have to deal with it if he doesn't take her side. It's one of those situations.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, yeah, bro, you don't understand. I got to ride home with her.
Right.
I got to try to sleep with her tonight. I got to try to have sex. I'm going to try to get some, you know, something on the road on the way. Like, I can't tell her to shut up. So, but it was awful, but I tried to make the best of it. And even Mike Jackson was like, he was Snapchatting during the show. He was like, man, I wish Barry would tell her, shut up. Like, I was hoping he would tear her apart. But I was like, in my mind, I was like, I did that last time. I'm not doing that again on the last show, on the last comic ever on stage at the joke joint. I'm not going out like that. I'm not going to let that lady ruin this moment.
Where are you on other people in the audience trying to get the heckler to shut up, like help, trying to help you?
I'm fine with that.
Has that happened?
As long as it doesn't start like a riot. Yeah.
Well, as long as it doesn't distract from your show.
Did I tell you all the story about the guy that wanted to fight me? And then I kept telling him, I'm standing right here.
Yes, he did.
You obviously don't want to fight me because we are literally face to face and you aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
I told that to his face. That at that show, that was a table full of 10 people that when I was like, y'all please stop talking, they were like, yeah, shut up. And they started clapping. So they'll do that, but I don't think most people have manners.
Yeah.
And have common sense, and they're not just going to make it worse by also yelling things
out. Right, right,
right. So they wait for the comedian to handle it, and then they have your back. That's usually how it works. Because, like, there was, like, the staff was in the back for the last set because they all, you know, like I said, we're all family. Yep. They were like, we're so happy you're closing out. We want to watch your set. And they finally got to. But they were all in the back. They couldn't even hear that lady. So that's the other thing you have to take into account is, yeah, she's distracting to me while I'm working and the few seats mm-hmm. around her. Mm-hmm. But it's a big showroom, and everyone else probably can't hear her unless she's real loud.
Now, did you have a time limit? You always say how long your sets are.
But nope.
That's great.
They were like, you do whatever you want. And so there was a lot of comics that showed up were like, hey, Barry, can I do a guest set on your show on the last show? And I was like, absolutely, man. I'm not going to hog this stage in this moment. And any comic that asked for it, go do some time, man. It's the last time. We ain't coming back. Better get it in while you can get it in. So there was a bunch of comics that went up. It was a longer than normal show. And I was only going to do 30 because I was like, I was only going to do 30 minutes at the end. And they wanted me to do 45, but I was like, they're going to be exhausted and it's probably going to fade. And I don't want to just hold these people hostage. But 30 minutes in, we were still going strong. We were having a good time and they were laughing. So I ended up doing 45.
Awesome.
But I mean, she wasn't awful, but there were moments where I was like, oh, if you were near her, like, because Walt and his wife and friends, they were like at the table right next to her. So it was bad for them. Mike Jackson was on the other side. Mm. So it was bad for them way more than, you know, the tables in the back and whatnot. So.
Got it. Yeah, that sucks. And you know what? And the alcohol has a lot to do with it.
Everything to do with it.
Because it changes everything. Because, you know, like you said, manners, etiquette, you know you're not supposed to do it. But even yesterday, I was watching, like I said, the last 5 or 6 holes of golf. And Gary Woodland made the last putt. But he made the last putt. And normally the rules of golf are the guy that's going to win the tournament, even if he's got a one-footer, everybody out. Else finishes yep. so that he's the last guy. They get that camera, that iconic moment, whatever. He makes this putt. So now he's waiting, and Justin Rose has got 2 more putts, and Justin Rose has got a lot of money riding on this. Like, if he misses 1 or 2, it's the difference between maybe $50,000, $100,000. And I even thought Gary Woodland at one point should shut the... Because these drunks in California kept going, Gary, tell him you're a badass, baby! And it's like, and Justin's like getting ready to putt, and he's talking about some serious coin. It's like, at some point, somebody should just say, the marshals aren't getting it, but drunk asses, shut up.
Yeah.
And let the people do what they do.
Like I say, alcohol's undefeated, man. It makes you do dumb stuff. And that's the worst part about comedy, is that some people can't handle their alcohol and feel like they need to be. And Walt's question was phrased well, because he said, was that a heckler or somebody that thinks they were helping? Because there are people that aren't drunk that think that just yelling stuff out or saying things is helping the show. Trust me, unless you're at an open mic, we're getting paid. We're professionals. Yeah. We don't need anybody's help. Just sit there and be quiet and enjoy the jokes.
There you go. Sit back, be quiet, and be a suspect, too, because we've got plenty more going in the final hour of the show. Lots more to get to, and if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio. We will be here tomorrow as well. Wednesday, the entire day, weather permitting, is the golf tournament at Wildcat. So come on out to Wildcat. We'll be broadcasting in the clubhouse. Everybody from every show will be broadcasting live from Wildcat that day. So stop in and see us, hang out.
That's right.
Should have some fun doing all of that.
It's Joel's birthday, so bring presents.
The Blitz is out. So it's going to be Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan.
Oh, the Blitz is there that day?
AJ said he, whenever there's a golf tournament, that he decides he wants to be anywhere but on the air.
Oh, okay. So, okay, that's how it works.
I guess. I heard him say that on your show.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't listen.
No, he said that when you were hosting with him.
Yeah, I know. I don't listen to him.
That's a good move on your part. Yeah, you can't get upset about it then.
That's right.
So there you have that.
All right. Actually, before we do that, let's get to Chris's call real quick, because I these are a couple sportsy texts I want to get to regarding our Astros and Rockets. But Chris was at my show. What's up, Chris?
Hey there, Barry.
What's up, man?
Hey, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at the show, enjoyed it. It was there from 6:30 until we closed out at about a little after 1. And it was awesome. I drove out from Mount Bellevue.
Yeah, well, you came up and said, hey, afterwards, man. I can't believe you made that drive, dude. I'm glad you got to see everybody you came for and had a good time. And thanks for coming out, man.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to say that lady that in the front row, she got set off by a comic earlier that night. He made some joke about roll your own cigarettes and roll your own tampons. And she yelled that through the entire night.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For every comic up there, almost.
It was pretty awful. It really was. Appreciate the call, Chris. Thanks for coming out to the show, man. Yeah, Chris made the drive from Mount Bellevue.
Wow. That's some loyalty.
Was like, yeah, he was like, well, because I think he's a fan of Slade Ham, who was closing out the show, and Rob Mungle and me. And he was like, man, I get to go and just bounce around and see both shows. And I was like, dude, he's like, yeah, I got to go. That's a haul back. Yeah, I was like, damn. He's like, well, this ain't Beaumont. I was like, that's true. It's even further. So, but yeah, man, thanks for coming out, Chris. Much appreciated.
No doubt.
All right, so first question was for you on the text line. Hey, Joel, a.k.a. J Boogie.
Never been called that.
No?
J Bizzle, never J Boogie.
No? You don't like J Boogie?
Sounds like I got something in my nose.
No.
No, I've never heard J Boogie. It's fine.
All right. Hey, J Boogie, is there anyone that the Rockets can target in free agency? And what's up with the CP3 trade?
We kind of covered the CP3 trade.
Yes.
I think in terms of free agency, if you're going to be realistic, I've mentioned this before, they'll have the full mid-level, which is about 5.4. If they make a few minor moves, they can get it up to around 9. Thing you got to take into consideration is the number one name on your list shouldn't be an external one. It should be Austin Rivers. Because you need to bring that dude back. And he's going to get paid one way or another. And he helped your team immensely. After that, you just have to kind of look at, you know, again, players that are going to be in the buyout market looking to win a ring. Veterans that still have a little something left in the tank. There's a lot of guys like that. But they're going to look at other situations too. And now because of this Lakers deal, they're going to look at the fact that, hey, Vegas has the Lakers as the best shot to win it all, and their two stars aren't in turmoil, and they've got a lot of stability now in which guys are going to jump on board and have choices. Last year, Kenneth Faried, Austin Rivers, these guys, they picked the Rockets because, one, they knew they had a shot at it, and, two, they knew they had a really bad bench where they had a chance to play. Now you've got other teams that are in the same boat and maybe have a better chance to win it, so now it's going to be tougher to get these guys to come to Houston.
Agree. All right, so speaking of odds, somebody else texted and said, who does Vegas have for the favorite to win the World Series? And the Astros are, this is according to Odd Shark, the Astros are the favorites at plus 350. So this has changed. When the season started, the Astros were a plus 700, as was the Red Sox. Red Sox now sit at a plus 1,200.
Yeah.
So that is severely dipped. But I'll give you the top 10, all right? Mm-hmm. So as I give you the top 10, I want you to tell me who you think the biggest value is. Because I have my own idea.
Sure.
But we'll see who you think, you know, if you were looking not just like a safest bet, but the best value bet. Like, oh, I can win a lot of money putting some scratch on this team. So Astros at number one at plus 350. Dodgers are second at plus 375. Mm-hmm. The Yankees are plus 500. Twins are plus 900. The Phillies are plus 1,000. The Rays are plus 1,100. Red Sox plus 1,200. The Cubs plus 1,400. Did I say Cubs or Cubs?
Clubs, but it's Cubs.
The Cubs plus 1,400. Brewers plus 17, and the Braves plus 1,700.
Well, I mean, right off the top, and I know you're a Rays fan. But I would say the two teams that intrigue me the most are the Cubs and the Brewers.
Okay.
Because of the fact that when you can get that much value, and even a Red Sox team, because they're still going to find a way and they'll spend money and they'll make a ridiculous trade mm-hmm. where it might cost them in the future to make them competitive this year. I'd say, you know, those three teams in particular for the value, when you're talking about plus 1,000 and more, I'd say Red Sox, Cubs, Brewers are all there. You know,
Red Sox or Rays? Red Sox?
Yeah, I think okay. Red Sox. Okay. I think the Rays just, because they're not going to spend. They're not going to make that one or two moves mm-hmm. that might be a little bit constricting later to try and win now.
Okay.
Because it's such a delicate situation.
So you're going to pick sucks. One. You've got $1,000. You're going to put it down. Which one team are you taking?
Cubs.
Okay. Yeah, that at first glance, I was like, ooh, plus 1,400 on the Cubs is good value. But I tell you what, and since you already picked the Cubs, I won't.
Okay.
My second team on this list, it's not as high of value, mm-hmm. but the Yankees at plus 500, being the third team on that list, having done what they've done with a complete yeah. mash unit, yeah. man.
And already adding Encarnacion.
That's a scary, scary baseball team to know that they're in first place in their division. They're motoring along, and I get the Dodgers look unstoppable, and the Astros look really good, and those are the top two teams, and they should be. But the Yankees at plus 500, it's not a great value, but the fact that they're not the odds-on favorite to win, that's some pretty decent value, because if I'm not picking the Astros to come out of the AL, I'm definitely picking the Yankees.
And you think about the Yankee situation, I think that's they were one of the game. Three teams that were favorite at the start of the year too,
yeah.
but now you're right. You talk about how they've persevered and won games when they were so dinged up. But on top of that, they just traded for the leader in home runs mm-hmm. in Encarnacion, and if
still have Stanton,
and if everybody was healthy, Stanton and Judge would be in that conversation. Gary Sanchez yeah. is right behind him. So you now you've got four big bats spread out that lineup.
Because you know it's going to go Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Encarnacion. Could you imagine having to face that lineup in the playoffs every single time?
Hicks is a hell of a good player.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
You know, all these guys around them, too, can really play. And then they added a James Paxton before the season started. So they added a pitcher. And don't think they won't go out and try and get another one before the deadline. So that's the scary thing about the Yankees is what you're judging right now is probably not even close to what you'll be judging at the end of the season, because they'll pull out every string, every stop, and money's no expense to be as good as they can be. So that's why the Astros constantly have to be willing to upgrade, looking at every option. And you know Jeff Luno will, but that's just a deal that you got to pay attention to because they've got so much money to burn.
I could see the Yankees definitely adding another arm to the mix.
For sure. I think that's what they're going to see.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, you've got Didi Gregorius, and like
he's
you said,
just coming back.
Gleyber Torres. I, this is just a loaded team that's been hurt, but that lineup. I mean, we talk
so
about how
so
good.
They sent Frazier down, and Frazier was in double figures with home runs, and is their one their top young prospect that was playing pretty good ball.
We talk about how good the Astros lineup is yeah. when healthy. I there's not a better lineup in baseball than the New York Yankees. Period. I mean, there's just not. Now adding Yordan to the mix, and if he continues his ability to hit with power and get on base and do the things he does, and if Altuve can get back to what he's doing. There's no doubt that the Astros give them a run for their money and are second by far, I think, in baseball from a power or not a power, but a scoring lineup, a threat. But that Yankees, it's hard to argue.
They
with
go
that
about
Yankees
it different
lineup.
Ways. The Astros are going to manufacture with extra base hits and yeah. runs and hitting for average as well. The Yankees are just going to beat the hell out of you with the long ball and with power numbers. But the fact of the matter is that hidden variable that you always got to consider is the injuries, because now mm-hmm. both teams coming off of injuries. We saw what happened from an Astros perspective when you thought Altuve was healthy enough in the playoffs, and he wasn't. Springer, and he wasn't. Correa, and he wasn't. So when you watch these guys coming back, it's not that you just be happy you got them back. Let's make sure when you do get them back, they're healthy enough for the long haul, and it's not going to bite you when you need them most.
Yep.
So take that into consideration as well. All right, we got a half hour to go when we come back. Don't go anywhere. The final 30 minutes will be on the clock. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. Final half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 Monday in the big city. Hope y'all are having a great day. Weather kind of eased up a little on it after a really... That rain came out of nowhere in droves yesterday.
We got 4 inches at the house.
I bet you did. And you weren't expecting it, which can really be dangerous.
Yeah, if you're just walking around and 4 inches shows up. Mm-mm-mm. Honey, I'm home.
Well, I can do some damage, huh? And then it went all the way through the night.
For about a minute.
Now, supposedly we're supposed to get another dose of rain.
Are we?
It was supposed to be between 2 o'clock and like 4, so I don't know that it... I can't see outside, Nick. I don't think it's raining.
Nope,
but then after that, it's supposed to be okay the rest of the week, so we'll see. Numbers for you.
Seven.
In case you're curious, the Raptors-Warriors series averaged 15.1 million viewers on ABC TV and streaming. That is the lowest figure for a finals since the Lakers swept the Orlando Magic in 2009.
Now, Joseph, put your TV and ratings knowledge to use. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that those numbers are misleading because the Nielsen ratings don't take into account the Canadian market. Is that the case?
I believe that is the case.
So every Toronto household that was watching wouldn't register.
It's a good point, and it's something that someone should definitely look into. The other thing then becomes, from an advertiser's perspective,
half of your money was being shown to...
Is that good or bad for you if you're targeting people in North America?
That are going to drink Molson and not Bud.
Right.
So, yeah, that... Or they're going to go to... They're going to go to Tim Hortons and not Applebee's.
They're getting better, though they're still not technologically advanced. It's TV and streaming.
Oh.
So you're getting a little bit more in terms of
accuracy.
So they
do ratings on streaming stuff now. Okay.
At least for, for
or
over
they
the air.
Count how many streams
over the air. Yeah. Right. So.
Gotcha.
So that, right. There's that.
Well.
No surprise, by the way, as we mentioned, Lakers now. The favorites in Vegas to win it all.
How is that? I guess you say no surprise. It kind of surprises me.
No, because it's a hype machine. To me, it's not about, because again, it's, you and I are talking in the break. It's so up in the air because every team that's listed in the top 10 has at least one, if not multiple players that are up in the air. Either guys you're rumored to be getting or guys that are free agents that may be leaving. So you can't legitimately take of the Lakers, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Rockets, the Warriors, Sixers, Celtics. Until you get to the Nuggets, there's really not a team in those first eight teams where you go
super stable.
They're
right
solid.
Now.
Yeah, because Milwaukee could lose Middleton and Lopez, and they don't have the money to replace them with the same kind of guys.
Now, okay. Yeah, now why... This is all has to be based on speculation of the offseason.
Absolutely.
Why else would the Clippers be listed as a 6-1 favorite to win a title?
Because they have two max spots, and they're assuming that even if they don't get Kawhi, that they will get two max value players.
But so that's it. These odds are being based on assumptions because they have in this list the Nets and the Knicks listed. And you can't look at the Nets and the Knicks and realistically think that their odds to win a title are as good as they are. Nets at 20-1, Knicks at 22-1.
I mean, it's all based on cap space.
It's all based on Durant to New York rumors. It's all based on Durant to the Nets rumors. Like this. That's what I mean. If you honestly had insight, if I'm in KD's camp, and let's just assume that KD was like, "Oh, bro, I'm going to the Knicks. I'm going to Vegas right now and putting money down on these 22-1 odds." Because I mean, if he does go, then it obviously there might be other dominoes that fall. You might have other information, but just to put these odds out on speculation and to see that they think that the Clippers have a better chance of winning a title than the Raptors or Rockets do at this point is ludicrous to me. Even the fact that they think that the Clippers have a better chance than the Sixers at winning a title is ludicrous.
And again, I was thinking on the way when I was reading this, hey, Philly's the most stable team, but then when you think about it, Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are free agents, and if they leave, that's a totally different team too.
Yeah. And, I mean, the Clippers literally don't have a superstar. It's a team full of role players. Now, you can make the case for Kawhi Lou Williams.
Rumored.
Well, no, but I'm saying Lou Williams as their biggest star.
Gallinari.
I mean,
kind of was at one point a star, but has lost his fastball maybe a little
Lou
bit.
Lou Williams is a great sixth man, but when he's, is he going to be your...
But is the great sixth man a superstar?
Yeah, no, exactly. None of that screams third best odds to win a title in the NBA.
That Montrezl Harrell can play.
Kind of weird.
No, and you look at it too.
Yeah, and they lost the centerpiece. So
you don't think somebody knew something too? They said that the Westgate in Las Vegas accepted a $10,000 bet on the Lakers at 5-1 at 3 o'clock Pacific time, right before news of the Lakers trade for Davis broke, and immediately the odds went down to 3-1. Somebody in the know got one down before anybody else.
Somebody
before those odds changed.
In LeBron's camp or knows
Rob
somebody,
Pelinka, somebody
at the Lakers or in AD's camp. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I would. If I'm best friends with Anthony Davis and he's like, bro, I'm going to the Lakers. It's about to happen tomorrow. I'm going to Vegas right away.
Even on the prop bets, when we talk about Super Bowl and stuff like that, if you know the equipment guy and you know for a fact.
Is that so? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
That, you know, that they're going to have red Gatorade.
Right.
And that's going to be what they're dumping with.
Is that illegal? Is that considered like insider trading kind of thing for Vegas?
Maybe if they find out. I no longer work for the organization.
That's just it. Would you, if you have that info.
Hey, Tone.
Are you not allowed to have...
I got a little something for the effort. Just let me know what color the Gatorade is.
Yeah. Are you not allowed to have that information and wager? Is that like against the law?
I would think that in order to really make sure you were safe, you'd have someone else place the bet for you that's just no affiliation or past affiliation with the team.
I wonder if that's illegal. Is that considered racketeering?
It kind of sounds like it would not be on the up and up.
Well, I know we've got legal experts. Well, most of y'all think you're legal experts.
Oh, online?
No,
I mean,
listeners.
Between texters and Twitter.
I'd be interested to see if that is considered illegal. If I am Anthony Davis's best friend and I find out from him that in the next 24 to 48 hours, he's going to be traded to the Lakers, is it illegal for me to go and put a bet on the Lakers before the trade happens?
That's the
That information.
That's the Phil Mickelson move. Yeah, the insider trading. Yeah.
Knowing that it's going to happen. So that would be interesting to find out.
And you know the one prop bet you shouldn't bet on is the red Kool-Aid because it's all been consumed here in Houston over the past weekend. I found that out on Twitter.
Well, speaking of that, look, have you guys heard anything about Harden talking to Butler? All speculation,
Stephen A.
Right?
Smith is reporting that this morning. But again, talk is one thing. Money is another. Jimmy Butler, this might be his last chance to collect and make big coin. Do you think he's the guy that's going to take that much less? And again, I just told you that based on scenarios they're discussing right now, they can come up with about 9. Jimmy Butler ain't coming here for 9. You better get real creative, 3-team deal, sign and trade, some other way with some other resources. Otherwise, you're not getting Jimmy Butler. But the one thing, Barry, I did want to ask you.
Okay.
If it is James Harden talking to Jimmy, is there a way that James says, sign for what they offer you, but we'll do a deal where we invest in something, wink, wink. I really won't get any stake out of it. I'm just going to give you all of it, and let's value it at, say, $10 million.
So he's going to throw in some cash?
I'm just saying, is there a way under the table that all these guys making the majority of the money for a team, like, say, for the Lakers, LeBron making all that coin with all the things he's got going on and says, hey, my next movie or TV venture, you're in. You don't have to put anything in.
That's interesting.
But if it blows up, you end up with however many mil.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Because
you know, if you ever get caught, it's the whole sport is screwed.
Of course.
But again, McHale got caught doing that kind of thing to get Joe Smith with the Timberwolves back in the day, and they lost draft picks and money and everything else, but they,
it's a big risk.
They survived.
Yeah, it's a big risk. That's a good question. I don't know that I would know the answer. That would be purely a guess on my part. If I had to guess, I would say no, because I feel like most of these guys are greedy enough to be like, bro, just get your money. Like, I'm not going to pay you. That's the job of the owner.
This is
my money.
Kind of like Daryl said in the clip that Nick played. These guys have everything else. They're first ballot Hall of Famers. They've got max money contracts. They've been all-stars. They've done it, been everything. The one thing that's escaping them, that's really driving them, is getting that ring. So if it means, I know we don't have cap space right now, but if there's a way that I can get an extra, a third star player, and we can win a ring.
Would you give it up? would you give up $10 million of your own
assuming money? Assuming that I am making what Harden is making? Absolutely, I would.
What's going to be interesting is, like, Harden really doesn't have any good campaigns, does he? Any good
Adidas.
Advertising campaigns?
I mean, he's making boatloads with Adidas.
Yeah, but I don't
He's
really...
in on the State Farm, thanks to Chris.
But that's what I'm saying. That goes away, right?
He did the gummy bears, the gummy beards.
But the State Farm, that was the point I was getting at. That was the big national campaign for him. I don't remember seeing many Adidas commercials.
He did
Are there
Hulu.
A ton of Adidas commercials?
Some.
I don't really remember. I know that the State Farm commercials exist because they play them all the time. I'm sure there are Adidas commercials. They just don't get the same.
Didn't
they don't
he do
run
Hulu or the one where he's.
He did that Gatorade knockoff.
Oh, he does. He's got stake, ownership stake in that energy water.
But
he also did want it, like, either it was like Hulu, but he was talking about it's with Sofia Vergara's husband, and they were talking about why would you take this because it's great? You know, you shouldn't be. And he's in this. Why would you have the biggest bed watching TV? And he was in there. But yeah, nothing to speak of. That's what I'm saying. Of course, I'd do it. If I give, hypothetically, I got Harden's money. I give Jimmy 10 mil. If we win it all, you don't think that in one endorsement deal, I'm going to make close to that back? Some national is going to come to the table and go, you know what? You just won an NBA title. Yeah. You're up for MVP. Let's do this campaign.
I mean, Giannis has that commercial now.
That's Hulu.
Is it the Hulu one?
Yeah.
Or is that Good Call?
With the money?
Where he's maybe that's what it is. Because...
No, the one where they're playing horse.
Oh, that's a
and
phone
goes,
company.
You goes first. Yeah.
That's a phone company.
But he got that. I mean, and he hadn't even won anything yet.
Yeah. But you're probably not like Googling James Harden as much as like the average Rockets fan. And I think that's when they start shooting. Like Adidas probably has like streamlined commercials that are directed to people who are always Googling about the Rockets or James Harden. And that's when you see like an Adidas commercial.
No.
That could possibly be
they're
it.
Also,
or they're just not big in TV
commercials.
They're
also brand specific. So even though James has a lifestyle collection for the shoes and everything, what they normally do is NBA on TNT or NBA TV, where they know you're getting the diehard basketball fan because that's where all the guys that really care about the Kicks are.
But I mean, even you right when he asked about Giannis's sponsor, mm-hmm. you knew right away what it was because you're probably
Giannis,
following
it's
the Bucks
Giannis
and the Giannis.
It's Giannis, Embiid, and Dame Lillard doing Hulu has live sports, and it's all about them getting the money.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, and Giannis is a great example because that's another tough sell because he's getting there. He's not there yet. And he's not exactly going to get out there and fluidly. He can speak fairly well, but when you're selling something, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. And he's in a small market.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's a big enough market, and if you want it all, I think he'd recoup the 10 mil or whatever he gave. And Chris could probably afford to give some too.
Somebody said so. Two things we need to get to. We'll look it up at the break. But apparently, two fans got shot at the Raptors.
Yeah, I just
parade.
Saw that.
Oh, really?
What happened?
Somewhere in Canada. All I know is that the police have confirmed it. I don't know what or why.
We got to look it up at the break.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find something about that. And also somebody said, you guys obviously don't know the story around Jimmy Butler's family. No way he would come to Houston to be this close to them. I don't know what that means, but that sounds like a lot of speculation from somebody.
He still lives here in the off season. He's here in town right now. So whatever it was with family or otherwise, you don't think that if he has a chance to win and make money, he's not coming here?
But I think the foolish thing to think is that a guy is going to come here just because he's from here. That ain't going to happen. Money trumps all.
Money talks and championships.
Yeah.
Chance to
yeah,
win.
That's a good point.
All right, we got one segment to go in the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show on a Monday. Appreciate you being along for the ride, hopefully for the entire 3 hours, and wherever you may be, inside, outside, or otherwise. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel as we take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. I believe it's Fred, AJ, and Aaron. I know I've seen Aaron and AJ. I believe Fred's back from his, it wasn't the World Series of Poker.
He went to Vegas.
He's not back yet, is he?
He was in a pretty. He was in the money.
Yeah,
I know he finished like 132nd out of like 6,000 yeah, players.
He was killing it out there.
Yeah, and he was tweeting, keeping us up to date, and it got dicey for a while, and he survived several, and then at the end he just came up short, but still in the money and showed well, so that's good.
Word.
But they'll be back out Wednesday because they don't want to do the golf tournament and then the rest of the week. So that's a team player.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was trying to give Lance a hard time. I was like, come on the show so I can make fun of you for being on this Yordan Alvarez. He's wearing his Air Yordan shirt.
Where did he get that shirt from? Like, where do you buy it
I think
from?
It's Running Game.
Running Game. Yeah. Running Game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Matt Jackson's sister is the marketing director for Running Game Clothing.
They got some cool clothes.
I'm yes, not they gonna do.
Lie. I should say cool shirts. Not considered clothes, it's shirts.
Right, right. 1.5 million packed downtown Toronto for the Raptors parade.
Okay.
So you knew it was a big deal. Kawhi's been living his best life, by the way, because they've been putting videos out. I think they were in back of a Bentley driving, he and Ibaka. And he's been smoking cigars. And when he did the interview with Lowry after the finals, he said, oh, he started limping. He goes, oh, good. We ain't got any more games to play, so I can just limp now. So he was if he was covering that up and still played as well as he played, kudos to him.
Yeah.
Because regardless, just like the KD injury, he's getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Lowry had him chanting 5 more years in Toronto today.
Oh, really?
You have heard stories, too, by the way, that someone there in Toronto who is a real estate person has said that if he re-signs with the Raptors, they have a $1-something-million condo
I saw that.
That's his
I
if
saw
he
that.
Wants to use it or whatever while he's there. Believe me, that's like the Crime Stoppers deal. If I help solve the crime, maybe you forgot about it, but I didn't forget about the fact that if I gave you the tip that solved it, or if I re-sign with the Raptors, I don't care how much money they're giving me. If you promise to give me that rooftop condo or whatever, I'm going to knock on the door and go, bro. So,
well,
can I
here's
get the keys?
We were talking about this on Friday.
Did you work on Friday?
Hmm, what?
Oh, okay.
Because I saw a tweet about this, and it made a ton of sense because they said. For, like, everyone was throwing stuff at Kawhi to stay. Like, he was offered free haircuts for the life of his contract. That real estate person said they would give him the condo. People have said, you can eat at my restaurant as long as you're on the Raptors for free. Bring your friends, bring your family, I don't care. Like, the entire city of Toronto, they estimated he had 25 to 30 offers of free stuff for the life of his contract if he re-signed.
Wow.
And what this person, the point was making was, you guys obviously don't know Kawhi because all of that means absolutely nothing to this
yep.
dude. This is a guy who the first year of his contract drove the car that he drove in college. It was like a Ford something. He bought a house, a very modest house, and lived with his mom. Like, Kawhi Leonard is very eccentric. He's not a guy that values
you can tell by his interview.
Monetary things. He's not a guy that looks at and goes, oh, free $1.5 million condo. I want that.
Now, the uncle's a different story.
Any of that. Nah,
the uncle already may be trying to move in.
The uncle is definitely a different story, but none of that is appealing to Kawhi, so it's almost futile to offer him those things.
You know what I...
Because he doesn't care.
You know what I feel when I hear those things?
But I do think the salary is the most important thing, because like even when we go back to when he was talking crap playing pickup ball, Boardman gets paid.
Yeah,
I think that the money obviously means the most to him.
I think the money matters, but again, you know, it's... Does it matter?
It's not the over the top.
Well, because I think he would leave, I want to say, $70 million on the table if he went to free agency.
If he leaves Toronto and goes
versus,
to free agency.
Versus so re-signing with
like,
Toronto.
It's like
that's going to matter.
It's like the difference between 189 and 221, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so about 40.
Oh, was it?
No, about 30.
I read 70. I thought KD's was 30.
That's per year.
No.
Oh, no, you're right. No, that's right.
Yeah, I think it was 70 total over the life of the
Because like in Clay's situation, if he had made one of the all-NBA teams, it would go to a Supermax 221. And because he didn't, it's 189.
Uh-huh.
And Kemba got it. So Kemba's eligible to get up to 221.
Well, no, I mean, all I know is, I don't know about any of that, but in the case of KD, I saw somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million if he leaves the Warriors and doesn't re-sign after his option.
That would be that... Difference between 189 and 221, I think.
Okay, but then in Kawhi's case, I read an article that talked, in that article that they were talking about, you guys obviously don't know Kawhi, where he would be leaving $70 million on the table if he left Toronto. Now, I don't know if that's true
or
not.
I don't know how, okay.
But either way, I just don't think that I think you're sleeping on that if you think that those are the things that are important to him if you're in Toronto. I mean, he wants to win, and obviously he wants to get paid for his services and his value.
Right.
But, I mean, their point was, which I thought was really interesting because it is kind of true. I mean, if you know anything about Kawhi, that dude's weird.
Well, but the other thing, he's family oriented. He's not, I want to say he's frugal, but he's not flamboyant. But the thing is, maybe the one thing that does matter is I can't walk away from that dollar figure. Mm-hmm. That's too big of an amount of money. But the only difference is, again, like when you were mentioning all these things, in North America, every state has a team pretty much, almost. So you're not getting things from a whole country. He's a hero for the entire country of Canada.
True.
So he's going to get everybody that wants to keep that thing rolling from all over the country.
Look, this is a headline from 2016. Kawhi Leonard drives a 97 Tahoe and hoards coupons for free wings. That's who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
The all-time legendary ones were that Jeff Van Gundy drove
a Corolla,
like
right?
a Honda Civic.
Yeah.
And John Stockton drove a Ford Escort for the first several years of his contracts. So, all right. So we heard, and people are asking, we heard two hurt are now being reported. Two hurt in shooting at the Raptors parade. Toronto police say two people were involved, but still news coming in on that. So we can't verify that or not. But that was something to wrap that up at the parade today.
Okay.
Anything else that we have to loose ends?
I think we got it all.
Okay. There you go. All right. We appreciate you guys being suspects, and we look forward to doing it again tomorrow. So hopefully you will do the same. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.